Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It'll be a time of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, but never any manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas. We are not an infomercial. We are not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to hustle you. This show is about giving you accurate information, not useless human speculation, but accurate information. And that information always comes from the canon of Scripture or the Bible. Yeah, I know it's a show about the Bible, but not the kind of show you hear normally. This is no ranting and no raving and no jumping up and down. This is simply me giving you some accurate information, helping you to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan. Now, that's up to you. But my job is to be accurate, to get it right, to be logical, no nonsensical. And so we're not here to play games. There's enough games going on in this world today, political games of intrigue, all sorts of social games, people jockeying for position, trying to get an advantage. This group wants that, and this group wants that, and I tell you, it's pitiful, and we're all tired of seeing it. So what are our choices? What are our objectives? As we go through this study that we've been looking at the soul, I've been trying to remind you that you are a living soul. The invisible, immortal part of you is called your soul, and we've done several lessons on that. We'll try to wrap it up today. But our show, The Flatline, we've written a book on the soul. It's called Understanding Your Soul, and that book is free for the asking. All you have to do is contact us at Rick Hughes Ministries. You go to the internet and just look up rickhughesministries.org, and you can email us from there, order the book from there, or you can write strictly to us at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. Our zip code is 35054. 35054. And don't send money. Now, we're not asking for money. This book is free. So if you'd like to have a copy or maybe two or three copies, just let me know. We'll get it out to you. And if you go to the website, you'll see some other books that are available to you also. These are provided by the grace of God. I've always believed, as my pastor taught me years ago, if God's in it, God will pay for it. You don't have to run around trying to hustle up business. And I believe that, and I bet you believe it also as well. So the soul. This whole show called The Flatline is how to equip your soul. The show, if you're new to listening to us, FLOT, F-L-O-T, stands for the Forward Line of Troops. It's a military analogy. We're using a military metaphor here to explain how you can establish 10 unique problem-solving devices on the flot line of your soul, on the forward line of troops on your soul, F-L-O-T. If you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, they will act as a defensive barrier, and they will stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. If you don't learn them, if you try to handle the adversity of life in your own human viewpoint thinking, your own human mechanics, you'll fail miserably and you'll go into stress-related sins such as worry, fear, implacability, bitterness, hatred, vindictiveness. These are all mental attitude sins. And you can get into those real, real easy, and they will destroy you. You see, unfortunately, we have the capacity to destroy ourselves. And the way that we destroy ourselves starts with what we think. So if we don't think right, then we're not going to do right. So the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So you have two options. You can think divine viewpoint. In other words, what does the Bible say? Or you can think human viewpoint. This would be, what does your dear old grandmother say? Or if she doesn't agree with the Bible, maybe she'll tell you something else. Or what does your friend at work say? Or what does the lady in the newspaper say? But divine viewpoint comes from the Bible. And this is where we try to give you the information to understand this. The Christian life is a very unique life. It's a powerful life, and it's a way to live without worrying. It's a way to live without being stressed out. It's a way to live with no fear, no bitterness, no revenge motivation. But it is it's a life that must be learned. You see, you have a couple of assets. You have a Bible. God has made sure that you have a canon of Scripture called the Bible. You also have, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you take the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you use also the Bible, then you have your two operating assets. Now, God has designed a plan where you can learn the Bible. It's not for you to take your Bible and go out and sit under an oak tree at lunch and read it. Yes, you're going to get some divine viewpoint. But the Bible is a textbook, and it's designed to be taught to you by a qualified pastor. And so God, according to Ephesians 4:17, has equipped certain men with a gift of pastor-teacher. And these men, the job they have to do is study and teach God's Word. Paul said they'll make you rich, they'll give you a treasure. And it's a treasure of divine viewpoint in your soul. It's what you think. And God the Holy Spirit will show you how to spend that treasure, glorifying God to the max. So as you sit under a well-qualified pastor, if you're filled with the Spirit, and that's problem-solving device number one, using rebound, when you sin, be sure you name that sin to God. And if that pastor teaches God's Word, you also will develop what we call biblical divine viewpoint. You will develop grace orientation, doctrinal orientation. You'll develop a personal sense of destiny. And all of these are part of the 10 unique problem-solving devices. So I know I said a mouthful. Let me back it up again. You have a Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a well-qualified pastor. These are three operating assets God gave you. So if you sit under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor and you are filled with the Spirit and he teaches the Bible, then you're going to develop doctrinal viewpoint, a biblical inventory of thinking. You're going to change the way you think. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Stop thinking in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, the Bible says. But think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. And again, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So here's the unique thing about our wonderful God. If He wants to check you out, He's not looking at where you are. He's not looking at what you're wearing. He's looking at what you are thinking. The Father has the ability to see your thoughts. Now, if He can see your thoughts, He knows this about you. He knows your motivation. He knows your intentions. He knows your desires. Let me say it again. God the Father knows your motivations. He knows your intentions. And He knows your desires. And therefore, He's well equipped as an omniscient God, all-knowing God, to judge or bless us based on those things. So when we talk about learning His Word, it is to give you proper motivation so that you'll have the right desires. That's what it's about. So that you can have the intentions that He wants you to have to glorify Christ to the maximum. Now, the first mandate is let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That is God's desire for you, to think like Christ thought, to think the same things that He thought. And what is your motivation? Well, to glorify God. That's why you want to do that, to bring God glory. And what are your desires? So that when you get to heaven, you're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I mean, you're going to go to heaven. You've believed in Jesus Christ. But just like on a football team, everybody doesn't letter. Everybody doesn't get in the game. And it's the same with you. Maybe God would like to put you in the game. Maybe you do have all the assets, but you don't know the plays. If He puts you in the game, you're going to mess it up. So He can't quite use you yet. God wants you to learn the plays. He wants you to learn the system. And then he can put you in the game and you can score the touchdowns using that analogy. And he can say, well done. And there will be rewards for you in eternity. Now, believers that never get in the game, they do have eternal life. Yes, they will spend eternity with a father. But they're not going to have any of those crowns to put at his feet because they never learned the program. They never executed the plan. Hebrews 5:11 through 16 talks about this, where whoever wrote that said this. We don't really know who wrote Hebrews, but he says this. I got a lot of things I'd like to teach you, but I can't because you're a little dull of hearing. You don't want to understand. You don't want to learn. And it's true. So many people don't want to take the time to learn. They're the nod to God crowd. They're the casual Christian. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. That's not the way we glorify God. Yes, you should go to church. Yes, you should do whatever you do in church. But God's desire is for you to grow, as the Bible says. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's desire is for you to grow, and there's only one way you can grow. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you're going to grow, then you want to learn how to execute the plan. You don't want to be ashamed and get to heaven and find out you did all the right things in the wrong way. Can you do the right things in the wrong way? Sure you can. You can pray and never get an answer because you do something in a right thing, but you do it in the wrong way. You see, if you pray out of fellowship with unconfessed sin in your life, there's not going to be an answer because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. And so your soul is a battlefield. It is the most important battlefield in this whole world. The irrational thinking of sin, the irrational thinking of evil, the emotional battle that you face every day of your life against the rational way of thinking, which is God's Word. Both of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and the old sin nature that you receive from Adam, both of these want to control your soul. But if you surrender to sinful or evil intents of your sin nature, then kind of like a person on a battlefield, your soul's going to be wounded and you're going to be out of business. You know, you're still a Christian, you're still going to heaven, but you're on the sidelines. And if you continue to stay on the sideline without rebounding, without using problem-solving device number one, then you're going to wind up a casualty. Yep, you'll be in heaven. Yep, you'll have eternal life. But you're going to arrive there not as a victorious combatant for God. You're going to arrive there as a battlefield casualty. So how can you guard your vulnerable soul from the unrelenting attacks of the enemy? It never stops, does it? Every day your flesh tempts you. Every day Satan tries to distract you. Every day the world lures you. Satan is the great deceiver. The world is the great distractor. The flesh is the great destroyer. So it's true for any soldier. You are a spiritual warrior. And you have weapons. You have armor. And part of it is what I've been teaching you on these 10 unique problem-solving devices. Paul talks about some of them in Ephesians 6 when he says, put on the armor of God. There's a military metaphor again, just like the one we're using. So, you are in full-time Christian service. You might not think you are. You don't just, listen, it's not only preachers that are in full-time Christian service. You are in full-time Christian service because you're a full-time Christian. Your Lord Jesus Christ is your commander-in-chief. And he orders you to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Now, you can defy that armor, and you can walk into the devil's arena with no armor on, and you're going to be a casualty. listen to what the Bible says. It's very clear. You need to hear this and understand this. Finally, keep on being strengthened in the Lord. Now, that's where your strength comes from. Keep on being strengthened in the Lord, even by means of the inner rule of His endowed power. And that's the spiritual life given to every believer at the moment of salvation. Now, listen as I read on in Ephesians 6. Pick up from the rack and put on you for yourself the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to hold your ground against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spirit forces and evil wickedness in high places. And for this reason, here it is, pick up and put on the full armor of God. Why? In order that you may have the ability to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to keep standing firm against the forces of Satan. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And that's sort of a modified, expanded translation of that passage. You are in a war. It is a war for your thoughts. Your soul has a mentality, and that's where the battlefield is, and that's what Satan's going to do. Remember, he is a great deceiver. Many Christians have been deceived into believing doctrine that is not true. They fall in love with a person. They follow a person. They move away from the truth, and they follow this magnetic personality, this person that they've come to trust and believe in. And all of a sudden, this person now changes his direction and says, you know, I don't believe what I used to believe, but I believe this now. And instead of having the guts to say, no way, Jose, they go right along with that magnetic personality. This is one way Satan deceives us, by using people to lure us out of the system. And he can deceive you as well. And the world can distract you by getting you to think, oh, if I could only win the lottery. Oh, if those people only liked me. Oh, if I only had some money, I'd be happy. And so the world tells you that happiness is related to people and circumstances, and that's not true. That's not true. The Bible says happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Those are the words of Jesus in Luke 11, 27 and 28. So if you want to be happy, it boils down to one thing, learning God's program and obeying God. And you will have the most marvelous life you could ever imagine. You cannot believe the things that God has for you. I mean, you say, I have a dream, and I want to be this person, and I want to follow my dream. Okay, go ahead and do that. I want to tell you this. Your dream could never get close to what God has in store for you. If you will let God lead you and direct your life, it'll be so much greater than your dream. Because you may achieve your dream, but you won't be happy. I mean, there are stories after stories after stories of people that, in human viewpoint thinking, said, if I could just do this or just do that, I'll be happy. And they do it, and they make a lot of money, and they're not happy. Because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So you know the first step in arming your soul is to use problem-solving device number one, and that's rebound, to make sure that you are operating in the omnipotent power of God the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, you will be defenseless against the devious, incessant onslaught of Satan, of your sin nature, or of the world. But if you can rebound, then you can take the first step by laying aside your old self. You can let the Holy Spirit control your thinking. And then you can begin to get a good perspective of divine viewpoint. Listen, you don't want to play ping pong from sin to rebound, from sin to rebound, from sin to rebound, back and forth. God makes it possible for you, if you will put on that armor of God that Ephesians 6 talks about, God makes it possible for you not to be a ping pong ball. You can advance in the spiritual life. You can live one day, 2 days, 3 days at a time, victorious, staying out of sin, learning God's Word, and being the happiest person the world has ever seen, mainly because you won't be frustrated with yourself. You won't look back at yourself and say, oh, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that. See, you have this guilt you carry because you fail. Let me tell you something. There's not a one of us that hasn't failed. There's not a one of us that should not already be a greasy spot somewhere. If you are alive today, we are alive because of the compliments of God's grace. He's not through with us. He has a plan. Remember that. So if you're going to stand firm, you got to wear that belt plate, that belt of truth the Bible talks about. The belt of truth. It's the spiritual armor, the Word of God. In Ephesians 6, put on the belt of truth, secured in your soul. It holds everything else together. See, without the knowledge of God's Word, then the rest of the armor that you're told to put on, it's just going to lie helpless at your feet. I mean, it all connects to the belt. The Bible also says, put on the breastplate. That's the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate can protect your vital organs, your heart, your chest, your lungs. It allows you to survive every soul attacked unscathed. You see, God's righteousness is your spiritual breastplate. And you know where you got God's righteousness? You got it when you were saved. Remember what the Bible says? He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. Remember that? That's when you got it. And you understand his righteousness once you learn his word. When you recognize that you have the righteousness of God given to you only because God's grace love towards you, then hopefully you will want to show that grace to others. But his righteousness will manifest itself coming through you in things like your thoughtfulness, things like your relaxed mental attitude, things like recognition and respect for freedom and privacy of other members of God's royal family. I mean, it's important you remember that. Jesus, therefore, was saying to the Jews who believed in him, listen now, if you continue to learn my word, that's Bible doctrine, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, Bible doctrine, and the truth will set you free, spiritually free. You won't be bound up with old habits and old desires, old burdens. There's a way to live, a new way to live. It's called the Christian life. So when you take God's word and learn it and put it in your soul, this gives you the freedom to serve your commander-in-chief, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our spiritual life gives us the spiritual freedom to be victorious in this angelic conflict. We can be victorious. We can advance to victory. We can hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. The Bible also tells you to put on your combat shoes on your feet. Combat shoes. Imagine rushing into battle with bare feet. You'd be limping around holding your bloodied toes. You would not only be a total failure as a soldier, but the enemy would laugh at you. They'd just stomp on your toes. That's exactly the pain and the humiliation you'll suffer if you go into spiritual conflict without understanding the gospel, which refers to the entire Word of God, because all of God's Word focuses on Jesus Christ, every bit of it. You were saved by a simple act of faith, but that faith was based on a series of sacrifices made by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And once we understand those sacrifices, then we can survive the attacks of sin and evil. See, our Lord set aside his deity. He became a human. He suffered indignities that attacked every human body. And he chose to spend much time studying his Father's Word. It filled his soul as a man. And that was what he needed to face his enemies. Remember Matthew 4, where the devil tempted him? And every time Satan tempted him, our Lord quoted scripture. It's exactly what we have to do. Every one of us Have you ever wondered why the Bible tells us very little about the first 30 years of the life of Jesus Christ? Well, I think it's because he was studying his Father's Word. He was preparing himself for the battle. And he was victorious. On the cross, victorious. Going to the cross, he didn't want to go. He said, "Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass away from me." That's his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." You might be surprised the way your life would go if you would quit following your own desires and submit yourself to what God desires. Matthew 6 says, "If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things you need and want will be added to you." You can read it for yourself, Matthew 6. It's pretty clear. And so here you are, a believer in Jesus Christ, and now you think you've sinned so horrendously that you're no longer saved. Well, if that's the way you feel, you're walking around barefooted. If you try to work for your salvation, you know, like I got a witness to 47 people this week, or I got to give a certain amount of money this week, you're walking around barefooted. If you think that never missing church for 1 year means you're going to go to heaven, you're walking barefooted. Listen, you don't have to walk down an aisle and make Jesus Christ Lord to be saved. You believe the Lord is who he said he is. Listen, in 1 John chapter 5, "He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." What about John 3:16? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What did Jesus say in John 6? "This is the will of the Father, that you believe in me, whom he have sent." How do you become a Christian? Acts 16, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's the victory, and it's yours. And you can believe it. You can believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sin, and you are in the family of God, and you're not walking around barefooted. You have on those shoes prepared with the gospel of peace. There's a lot to know about this. Please, stay with me. Write for the book if you'd like to. Be happy to send it to you free of charge. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.